Hi, Merritt. Thank you so much for calling back.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I've been having non-cancerous tumors most of my life. Everyone in my family has died of cancer or is in the process of dying of cancer. And I've always been scared that I will turn to cancer one of these days. My sister died of multiple cancers by the time she was 21, and they never saw it coming. So that always scared me back when I was 20. Mm-hmm. So right now they keep telling me that my fibroids can turn to cancer, that my cysts can turn to cancer, and they're always checking. But they also won't go one step further and give me a full body check to see if I carry cancer. Mm-hmm. They won't do that because my insurance won't pay for it. And I have spent my whole life savings on all my sicknesses, so thus I have to beg and plead with doctors to get the tests I want, even though Washington states I can get any test I want, but getting the insurance to pay for it is another question.
Right.
So I just came back from an MRI scan yesterday, talking to the doctor. They embolized the arteries going to the fibroids 2 years ago. The side effects have wiped me wild. You know, I've had problems even when I call in. One time I'll be hyperactive talking, the other time I'll be stuttering like I am right now. I have other problems, and I'm allergic to all the medicine, so it makes it fun. Right now, they said that the tumors are dead. I saw the pictures myself, but the biggest tumor is pressing against my bladder. I've had wonderful results with ESIAC over the years. It takes away a lot of the fibrous tissue that is painful, that is just kind of dead and sitting there. I don't have strength right now for an ESIAC diet. It takes really good strength to follow that diet. My question for you is, how can I get those dead tissue to be absorbed by my body and gotten rid of faster than just wait and see, because it hurts when I have to go to the bathroom. So the doctor said it was dead, but I don't know how to deal with it.
Okay.
Neither does he.
Oh. Well, if there is no blood flow, and this is uterine fibroids, I'm assuming, that you're talking about?
Right. I'm still flowing blood, and I haven't hit my menopause, even though I'm 50.
Okay.
And I don't know. They said that I had a 75% chance to go straight into menopause, but, you know, my body's never followed anybody's rules and regulations. I've had problems, but they don't know what to say to me now. They just said, well, you can suffer in your pain because we're not giving you anything for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been suffering.
Okay. Well, I would say that just naturally, I understand that you're still having flow, that you're still having a menstrual period. But what I'm understanding from the imaging that you had done is that there's no blood flow actually going to the fibroid, and that's why the fibroids are dead. And so with the fibroids, yes, with the fibroids being dead, they should just naturally start to get smaller on their own. But I'm sure so I'm saying that there may be other things that you can do in conjunction with that to help to get it to be smaller. So one of the things that we'll do is use the potassium iodide. And I know that I mentioned one of the brands during the announcements earlier.
Yeah.
Well,
what will that do and how much?
So it helps to...
I was told not to go on too long because then it will mess up my thyroid.
Right. So if you take iodine at high doses, then it is possible that it can mess up the thyroid gland. So that is definitely something that we're always cautious about. With the potassium iodide that's in a liquid form, like the Bernard's solution that we sell through the Tahoma dispensary, that one I will use a differing amount with different people just because, again, I don't know what their thyroid function is, or I will know what their thyroid function is, excuse me, so I'll use different amounts depending on what their thyroid function is.
I had that checked also, and right now I'm like one whole degree colder than everybody else, but I went in and had it checked, both reverse and forward and all that stuff, and they said that I'm doing fine thyroid-wise.
Okay.
So I did go in, pay $500 for a big giant test a few years back to make sure after I did my iodine, because I went the straight iodine, Lugol's iodine, for 6 months, 1 year, and it upped me by a whole degree temperature because I used to be a lot colder.
Okay.
And then I had it tested afterwards, and they said I was right on the button for being good.
Okay.
So.
Well, in this.
Now what do I do for getting rid of these fibroids?
So we wouldn't be using the iodine this time, like the Lugol's iodine or iodine. We would be using the potassium iodide.
Yeah, I got that part, but what else can I do?
You also asked me for the dosage, so I'm just trying to answer your full question before moving on to the next thing that you could do. So the dosing, I would say that 3 drops of the potassium iodide is safe for most people, and even higher doses, such as 6 to 8 drops, can be used. But when using a higher dosage like that, I really do think it's important to follow with regular thyroid testing. And you don't have to.
Are we talking about 3 months' time doing this or a whole year doing this? Because I was told not to take it longer than 3 months at a time and then go off of it. And that was Dr. Jonathan Wright that told me that originally, but that was like 2 years ago.
Well, it depends on how it is affecting your thyroid. So again, if we're monitoring your thyroid function, it is something that can be used longer than that. So I'll usually recommend testing the thyroid function after you've been using it for about 6 to 8 weeks the first time, just to see what kind of response you're getting, and then not as often after that, maybe another 3 months after that would you test again and see what your thyroid function is.
Okay.
The other
then what else can I do?
The other things that you can do is use castor oil packs topically. Have you used a castor oil pack previously?
Yeah, I've done it before. Castor oil packs.
And then the last thing would be to use natokinase.
That's one I haven't figured out yet.
Okay.
I listened to Dr. Jonathan Wright, and I've read a lot of his stuff, but I've never gone to buy it yet.
Okay.
Can you spell the last word again?
Natokinase. It's Natokinase.
Kinase?
A-S-E.
Okay, spell the last word again.
So the whole name is Natto, and then kinase, Kinase.
Okay.
And there's different strengths, of course, like everything. I would recommend using the higher strength, which is 100 milligrams or equivalent to 2,000 FUs is what the milligrams, it's not milligrams, it's called FU. So 100 milligrams or 2,000 FU per capsule, and it's good to take 1 twice a day or 3 times a day.
1 2 times a day. Or what else did you say? Or
three times a day?
Yeah,
1 2 to 3 times a day. Yeah. So, Merritt, we are at another breaking point, but I did get to mention
the 3. Where does the natokinase come from? How do they make it?
I can talk about it when I come back on air. We do have to take
a
break right now. Thank you. Bye. The last caller was asking us about natokinase and where natokinase came from. Natokinase is an enzyme, and it's extracted and purified from a Japanese food called natto. Natto is made from fermented soybeans, and it's been eaten in Japan for at least 1,000 years. Natto is produced by fermentation by adding a bacteria called Bacillus natto to boiled soybeans. And natokinase can then be put into a capsule that we can swallow. It's considered fibrinolytic, so it breaks up fibrin in the body, and it can be used for a lot of different things. And I was mentioning it being helpful to break down the uterine fibroids. but it's also been used for people to help them prevent blood clots and heart attacks and strokes, as we talked about earlier for another patient. And I know there was a caller that wanted to make a comment about the person that just called. So let me go ahead and take that call. Hi, Grant. Thank you so much for calling.
Hi. Yeah, you kind of left one big thing off the list there, and that would be serrapeptase. That's a wonderful eater of dead tissues in the body.
Right. Serrapeptase is also a good fibrinolytic agent, just like the nattokinase. I've just seen specifically with fibroids the nattokinase be helpful. I just haven't had a lot of experience with serrapeptase, but you're exactly
right.
Yeah,
any dead tissue that got the blood supply cut off and things, serrapeptase will just kind of dissolve it out and not clot, not anything. It's probably on my list, it would have been the first thing.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling to bring that up very much.
Yeah, nattokinase, it definitely cleans out dead tissues.
Yeah,